You are listening to the Living Hope International Ministries Weekly Bible Teaching Podcast. For more information, visit us online at lhim.org.
Hi, everyone. How are you? Greetings from Southern Florida, where it's a little hotter than it is here. So the words you just sang, those are wonderful words to know in our heart, right? A lot of my message today should be, Jesus, don't forget the message. I say that because the beauty of the song you just sang and the words that you just sang, don't you want everyone to know that? I mean, if everyone could have the opportunity to understand our Savior, to understand what is available to them, that's what that song just said. You know, and we're praising Him and we're thanking Him for what He has given to us and what we have to look forward to. Jesus, don't forget the message. We're going to talk about that for a little while. But before so, do you see my prayer shawl that I put up here today? It's pretty cool. But I have it here. I had the privilege, and I say privilege, throughout my 3 or 4 weeks that I've been here, to do 2 funeral services. One was my mother-in-law, who passed away, and one was Terry Jordan, a dear friend of ours. And I had the privilege to wear this at those 2 services. I bring it up because these are 2 people who believed in Jesus. And something happened at the 2nd service that I did, which was Terry Jordan, up north of here. Her whole family was there. And Terry, oh my gosh, she loved her family like nobody else. She just, everything's all about her family, and she loved her family. So while I was doing this service, I noticed people were, you know, sniffling and crying, and rightfully so. It's sorrowful that someone just passed away. And the Lord just said, you're going to do something right now that you have never, ever done in all the services I've done for funerals. And I said, you know, you're Terry, who you know, who's in this, you know, she's here. she loved you guys more than anything. And you're crying because you miss her. You're crying because, you know, you have a void in your heart. You're crying because it's just a terrible time. She's passed away. I said, but you know what? There's not one reason in the world. Not one reason in the world. And here's the message as well. Why you can't be with her for eternity. There is not one reason. Not one. They just kind of looked at me, but they needed to understand our message, what we know as truth. Those who are dead in Christ shall rise first, and we which are alive and remain shall be caught up in the clouds, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words, and encourage those who are crying and sorrowful, and rightfully so. Hey, this is the beginning. Terry can nag you for everlasting life if you want. She's a wonderful lady, but we look at things differently when you look at it through the Scripture, because we have opportunity to realize that this is the beginning of our life. I have often said, living life today is you're just filling out the application. You're filling out the application. The job's about to come. Okay, so John 3:16. I don't know if anyone ever heard of that verse before. Well, you're going to learn more about it because football season's right upon us. So, and every football game we see the sign, you know, John 3:16. You could probably recite that. If anybody can just talk it with me. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. 25 words. In those 25 words is the story that we're all living. That's the story. You could probably take just that scripture and do a weekend seminar on it. Because it tells us all about, for God so loved, God so hated, God so loved the world, because he loved the world. He gave us his son. So, and it says in there that you should not perish, but have everlasting life. And that's interesting to know. What does it mean? Because many of us are going to pass away. Why does it say perish? What's perish? What's the difference between perishing and being died and being asleep? Well, there's a verse in John chapter 10, verse 10, that says, "The thief cometh not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy, but I am come that thou might have life and have it more abundantly." The first part is about our arch enemy, the devil. "I am come that thou might have life. For the thief cometh not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy." Well, he steals our thoughts from worshiping and keeping our thoughts on Almighty God. He steals our thoughts subtly, and you won't even notice it, but he does. He kills and to steal, kill, and destroy. He kills our body if he can. But to destroy us is the same word as it would be for perish in John 3:16. When you perish, you have no eternal life. It's not even available. You're gone. It's important to realize that Jesus is the message, and we can't forget that. So, Acts chapter 3. I'm going to share a little story with you. I'm sure you've probably know the story. Acts chapter 3, verse 1. "Now Peter and John went up together in the temple at the hour of prayer, being the ninth hour. And a certain man lame from his mother's womb was carried, whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, asking of alms. And they saw Peter and John about to enter the temple, and Peter, fastening his eyes on him with John, said, 'Look on us.' And he gave heed, and Peter said, 'Silver and gold have I none, but such as I have give I thee. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, arise and walk.' And he took him by that right hand, and he lifted him up, and immediately his feet and his ankle bones received strength. And he, leaping, stood and walked and entered with them into the temple, walking and leaping and praising God. And all the people saw him walking and praising God." This is a remarkable record. So let's go back to verse 2. "And a certain man lame," first of all, the word is man, "a certain man is lame from his mother's womb." From his mother's womb. So how long has he been lame? His entire life, right? Later on, the next chapter in verse 22, tells us he was over the age of 40, ultimately, when this occurred. "But he was laid at this gate daily at the temple." Now, what happens in the temple back in those days? Pretty much everything. Everyone was in the temple. Everyone passed this man. For 40 years, everyone who went into the temple, which was everyone, it was in Jerusalem. This was the temple. Every day he was laid to ask alms of people. Every single day. 40 years. Who would may have passed by him during their travels? Well, Jesus. Anyone who has anything to do in the temple, they have to pass by him. This is such a cool story. So we know the layout here. Man over 40 years old, He's been laid for 40 years. How many people? And we lived in Clifton Park for 35 years, and we raised our entire family for 35 years. 40 years he was laid at this place. But everything in God's timing, it says that, of course, Peter and John came by, and they did what they did. And that's a wonderful story of victory, if you will, in Christ Jesus. You know, you can often say, well, it was Peter and John. Come on, it was Peter and John. What did Peter and John have that we don't have? They had a relationship. They were Jesus' fellowship. Can you imagine having 3 years of praying with, having breakfast with, lunch with, dinner with, walking around, hanging out with, learning from Jesus, watching him walk on water? Peter tried, right? Watching him walk on water, watching the storms coming up and down, and Jesus coming out and saying, peace, be still. You know, waves quiet, stop, we're done. And this happens. They had the privilege to witness everything that Jesus did. And then he dies on the cross. We know the story. And then he's resurrected. Now, he's resurrected for 40 days. He's teaching them about the kingdom of God. I'm not saying much, but I know I've confessed Christ in my heart, and I know that I believe what I hear, and I love this. The worship music was wonderful this morning, and by the way, it really was. But I didn't ever walk beside him. Yet, the word Jimmy, yet's always one of my favorite words in the scriptures. We're going to see in a little while how important that was to this action here. But more importantly, what's available, because we can't forget the message about Jesus. Because that's what this is all about. That's the whole story. That's the whole John 3:16. Verse 16, it says, his name through faith in his name made this man strong, whom ye see and you and know you the faith which is by him hath given him this perfect soundness and the presence of you all, in the presence of you all. The boldness that they had because they knew Jesus. And that was such a benefit. They knew Jesus. We go over to chapter 4. Chapter 4. Go right down. Actually, they were telling this bold story of what happened, why it happened, and you know who caused Jesus to die to begin with. In chapter 4, verse 12, it says, neither is there salvation in any other name, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. There is no other name. We must be saved. We can only be saved through the name of Jesus. We know the scriptures tell us in the Gospels, Jesus said, I am the way. I am the truth. I am the life. And he is the way. He is the truth. He is the life that we so desperately need. But so do people who don't know our Lord Jesus. That's why I love that song this morning. Didn't know you were going to do that song, but and I love the song, Give Me Jesus. We need Jesus in our life. The world needs Jesus in our life. It's a blessing to hear of all the activities that are going on in this church, and it is a blessing to hear that. But Jesus' message, it says in Luke 19, verse 10, Jesus' purpose in Luke 19 says, for the Son of Man has come to seek and to save the lost. That was his primary 99% purpose. because of this guy named Adam and his wife named Eve years ago, screwed things up for us. So he came to seek and to save the lost. And so, verse 16. This is the time in the scriptures where the Sanhedrin and all the governmental agencies, people were around Peter and John and wanting to know what name have you done this? And it says here in verse 16, saying, "What shall we do to these men?" This is all, they are all congregated. You know, it'll be our Nancy Pelosi, Doug Schumer, all of our people. It's the same scenario. Nothing's changed under the sun. But well, what shall we say to these men? For indeed a notable miracle hath been done by them, is manifest to all them that dwell in Jerusalem, and we cannot deny it. I love that. We can't deny it. Because if we could, fake news would be all over this. We would be, the first thing they would do is, well, this is not true here, and we'll hide this there. But it was a notable miracle. How do you deny a guy who's been lame for 40 years? And God said the time for him to be healed is right now. Peter and John, come here. Look on us. Silver and gold have I none. It wasn't Peter and John. It was the Spirit of God that did this miracle. And I love this verse because does not the world tell you all the time that you're not good enough, you're not this enough, you're not that enough? And this Jesus thing, what's this? Get this guy off the football screen here, you know? But then it spread no further, verse 17. It spread no further among the people. Let us straitly threaten them, that they speak henceforth to no man in this name. And they called them and commanded them to speak nor teach, to not speak nor teach in this name. And of course, we know what Peter and John did. They spoke. But that declaration, what the government told Peter and John was, you can no longer speak. They commanded. They didn't ask. They didn't request. They commanded them not to speak in that name. And he's actually done a pretty good job in that request, because what I find is people don't speak in that name. When's the last time you used the word Jesus outside of Christian people, that you used the word Jesus in a conversation with somebody? I say that because the salvation we're talking about is for those who don't know our Lord Jesus. The song was beautiful today, but I want the person who never knew Jesus or doesn't know Jesus to experience what we have experienced and what we know is going to be ours for everlasting life. Can you imagine that? We can tell people, hey, your friend who's just passed away, he's a Christian. Would you like to be with him? It's the weirdest thing in the world to think about doing that at a funeral. But folks, it's not just a book. We know it's not just a book. I would not be the minister that I've been called to be if I didn't say that the salvation message of Jesus Christ is the most important message that we have the privilege to give. In let's see here. If we go back to the message, let's go back to the message. Go John. The book of John, Gospel of John. Boy, I can hear. If this was a linoleum floor, I could hear a pin drop in here. So. Let's go to John chapter 3. And we'll start in verse 15. Because that famous verse didn't happen in verse 16 without 15. So, all right. It says that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life. Verse 16 says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world. And we often think that God's this big bad boogeyman. Remember the Wizard of Oz, how when Dorothy and the Straw Man and the Tin Man were walking down the hallway of the Emerald City, and the clouds with the smoke and all this stuff, and finally Toto went over and pulled the screen away from where the little professor was in there, and the little professor kept saying, pay no attention to the man behind the screen. But when you pull it away, you know, there was just this little man there. And that's kind of how the adversary is for us. He's just a little man. Why do we get so hung up in the power of darkness, the devil, Satan? Oh my gosh. I mean, think about it for a minute. People actually take the time to equate God and the power of God with this devil. Folks, I respect the adversary because I know he's real. And I definitely respect him. I'm not stupid. But I would never fear him. God Almighty, he made him. He's not equal to God. God made this little archangel. And yet we are like, oh my gosh, I have to fear the federal government. Because if I don't have my money here, and if I don't have this here, and if I don't have hit this here, you're going to what? Is not God your provider? Of course he's our provider. In everything, he's our provider. And I want people who don't know this Jesus that we know to understand that's the abundant life now and then everlasting life as well. Right now, he's our provider. I thank God for the medicines I take. Because he provided those pills somewhere in that process, and now I take them, and I'm still alive. Okay, so, and we all have that same privilege, okay? God has not changed at all. We are still his people. Now, again, Jesus, don't forget the message. The message, and I'm trying to stay on point here, the message really is about salvation. Our salvation. If you don't know Jesus, I mean, if you don't know him, you may have heard of him, you may sing about him, you may do studies with him. If you don't know him, you know, you're not there. You have to know him. You have to have him in your heart. And that's the message that Jesus said. He's come to seek and save the lost. That's the message. Well, what else? John 3:16. That's a great message, too. 25 words. Okay. I want to share on a man by the name of Billy Graham. I look at Peter and John, and I say, well, that could never happen today because they walked with Jesus. They knew Jesus. They did everything with Jesus. This is why they could do what they did. Obviously, we can't do that because we don't have that kind of power and we don't have that kind of relationship. I want to introduce you to a man who just passed away, okay? His name is Billy Graham. Everyone may not know who he is, but he was a minister for God, Southern Baptist man out of North Carolina. Born in 1918, died 2018. Over 70 years, God used him as an evangelist, okay? He had one message, salvation. He had one message. He could slice it 2,000 different ways, but he would come across, it was always the message, salvation. Repent, come unto the Lord. Now, I had the stats here somewhere. Yes.
So Billy Graham, when he finished his ministry work in 2008, they had topped over 2 billion people who have heard the salvation message from Billy Graham. Okay? It is said that 3.2 million people came forward at Billy Graham's invitations. He'd have big stadiums, people would come up. His message was always the same: salvation, repent. It was such a simple message. I listened to Billy Graham for the last 2 years pretty much every day. And his message is always the same. And he would say, you know, to be an evangelist, it's almost boring because our message is just one. We got one message. It's Christ's sake. You got to come unto Christ. You have to repent. You have to come unto Christ. And then he had what he called his invitation, where he would ask people in the audience, come forward, and I'm going to pray for you and pray with you. I'm going to give you some literature, and you can go on your way with your friends. He just died 4 years ago. 2 billion people he touched in his ministry. So when is it too late to get involved with God? Has God stopped being God? He has not at all. We know that. I understand, but I want to show you something here. We know in, let's turn to 2 Corinthians real quickly here. Okay. Mm-hmm. Man, you guys are so quiet. Second Corinthians chapter 5. It says in verse 19, to know that God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you by us, we pray you in Christ's stead, be reconciled to God. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ. That's what the scriptures tell us. Everyone in this room who believes in Christ is an ambassador for him, a spokesperson for him. What does an ambassador do? He represents a foreign country. And that's what Jesus told us that we are to do. We are to represent him. The message of Christ, though I am so thankful for what we have here and how we can continue to nurture this church, it's wonderful. But the message is salvation. I have the privilege, and I really look at this as a privilege. Over the years, I've had the privilege of being a chaplain here in the Albany area at a couple of different hospitals and retirement centers, and I'm still the chaplain for the fire department. I can't get away from these people. We've been down in Florida for 2 years, and last February, I get this phone call on a Saturday night, and it says, Chief Artie, is our fire chief. And I thought, why is he calling me? Someone had to have died. You know? So, hello, Artie. Jay! And I hear this crowd in the background. What's going on here? Jay, Artie, what's going on? And he's, I'm at our annual banquet. I said, yeah, all the fire people there, some senators are there and congressmen and all the dignitaries are there. He says to me, we couldn't start without your invocation. And I was like, I've been gone for 2 years. Come on. I think you can do this. But it was a real blessing to be a part of that. And it reminded me, this message, don't forget this message. The message is what? That Jesus came to seek and to save the lost. And there are people outside of our building here. These are, I didn't steal them. They were given to me for my request at the hospital the other day. I went to Albany Medical, picked these up. My favorite, probably one of my favorite places in the world, is a chapel in a hospital. Because you have the opportunity to go in and with real silent quietness, pray and meditate. Okay? But I had the privilege to, for years, going into this chapel and read the prayers of those who had needs. And that was one of our responsibilities as chaplains to do so. So I'm not going to read these, but they are here. If you feel the need to see them, hundreds of people crying out for a God to help them. Baptists, Methodists, Catholics, Buddhists, Muslims, where do you want to go? Atheists. But I bring this up because the message is mankind, humanity is crying out for God. They're crying out for God. There is no better place, in my estimation, than to have a terrible tragedy in your life. That's possibly the best thing that can ever happen to you. Because you will never ever get closer to God than you will in a tragedy. Because you know there you have to depend on this God. I don't like it when I hear, and I have heard, let's just say, I have heard that, well, you know, people over in Africa or other countries, they're third world countries. And the reason they are so quick with the scriptures and they know the scriptures and they're so fast with the scriptures is those people, they're the ones who really need the Lord. Like, really? Okay. For those who don't know, maybe 35 years ago, I had cancer and testicular cancer and, you know, lymphoma cancer and 25 brain tumors. Wasn't doing well. And Mimi knows because Mimi visited me in the hospital. And 35 years later, thank you, Mimi, for visiting. But this God always delivers. He always delivers. But he doesn't deliver other than through his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. He's our access. He's our mediator. Without Jesus, we have nothing. This message has got to be told to the world. 1 John chapter 5, verse 5 says, who is he that overcometh the world? Meaning, overcometh the world. He's going to get through this whole world. Who is he that overcomes the world? But he who believes that Jesus is the Son of the living God. That verse kind of mirrors John 3:16, doesn't it? It's the same message. The message is simple. I just love that section in Acts chapter 4, and they say, we're going to tell you to stop. We command you never to speak in that name. Well, there's a purpose for them not wanting you to speak in that name. Because our arch enemy, the devil's purpose in life is to steal, to kill, and destroy us, that we never have opportunity to see this kingdom to come. And these people, and on behalf of these people in the hospital that cry out to a God, we're the ambassadors. We're the ones that have that message, the salvation message. What is it to receive salvation? You repent, you turn your ways, you serve the Lord Jesus Christ, you no longer serve yourself, and you'll have a perfectly renewed mind as soon as you bring him into your life. That's a lie, but I'll tell you what. I've been studying the scriptures for 45 years or so now, and it's been a long time since I had a bad thought. But it was about 8:30 this morning. I was at Stewart's getting my coffee. I got in there and I like decaffeinated coffee, so I go over and it's not. There's nothing here, and I'm holding this cup up, and the guy behind the counter, he says, what's up? I said, well, you have no decaffeinated coffee. And he says, well, it looks like you have no decaffeinated coffee. And I said, no, you don't have any decaffeinated coffee. And I thought that would be the end of it. He goes, no, I think you don't have any coffee. And, of course, my first thought was, dear God, please help this poor man. He doesn't understand you. No. My first thought, you smart ass. I mean, that's the first thing I said in my head. Didn't say it out loud. Thank God I've learned not to say all these things out loud. So I didn't say it out loud, kept it right here, but I said it. Yeah. Then God said, okay, Jay, it's time to stop. And I just said, thank you so much. I really appreciate it. And I walked out. You know, the adversary, this adversary, as small as he is going to poke you every day of your life. I mean, have you ever experienced him before? Your hands are down? Maybe we're talking about two different things here, but I don't think so. I guess the last thing I want to share with you, salvation, don't forget, that's the true message. But if you could just turn to, for one moment, in the book of Romans, and thank you for the privilege of allowing me to share the scriptures today. I'm not a teacher. I love people. I hang out with people. I'm a pastor. I'm a chaplain. Different type of ministry. So I appreciate you putting up with me today. But I know that mankind is crying for help. Ecclesiastes chapter 3, verse 11 tells us that there's a space in our heart exclusively only for the Lord. And only the Lord can fill that spot. No one else. We fill it up with drugs, sex, vanity, everything. But it never is satisfying because it never will satisfy. It's only God that does this for us. Yet we live in a world, and I'll finish with this verse here, that says in verse... Am I in the wrong place again? Yeah, I'm in the wrong place. Okay. It says in verse 18, I love this verse. For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy. They're not even worthy to be compared to the glory which shall be revealed in us. This is the truth of God's word. This world is not my home. I'm just a passing through. My treasures are laid up, right? We know the song. Because it's a true song. We've learned it for 50 years now. We all know this song. And that's wonderful. But I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared to that which we have coming for us. That's the salvation message. To repent, to turn, and gear yourself into a good church. For those of you online, and be in a Jesus church. One, if you don't hear the word Jesus in your church, I would say find the nearest door and never come back. This is all about everything we're doing is about Jesus. Salvation's about Jesus. Kind of cool, right? Father, thank you for your grace and your mercy. Thank you, Father, for the truth of your simple words of salvation. Thank you, Father, that we have the Peter and Johns to see the records. Thank you, Father, that we have the Billy Grahams to see 4 years ago. He was spitting out that same message, God, and same power as we have today in the name of Jesus. God, we thank you for your love for us and for your grace and for watching over us. And thank you for the privilege, Father, to share your words at this wonderful location. In the name of Jesus Christ, I pray today. Amen. Thank you.
Thanks for listening. Visit us at lhim.org, where you can access dozens of free classes, Bible teachings, and articles. Also, when you visit lhim.org, subscribe to receive email updates so you won't miss out on upcoming events. Until next week, keep loving God and your neighbor.